Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
I received a call yesterday, and before I could say anything, they hung up on me. So I called them back.
Well, why'd you call them back?
Because I was expecting a call. That's the reason why I called them back, an important call. And as soon as I called them back, the girl recognized that my voice was not the person that she was intending to call. And I thought that
Well, she probably recognized your voice when you said hello the first time, and that's why she hung up on you. Because if you've ever dialed the wrong number, immediately if I was trying to call Jim and a Sarah answers, immediately I know I have the wrong number. So she probably, instead of saying, oops, I'm sorry, I have the wrong number, she just hung up on you. And when you called her back, I don't know why she answered the phone, but she answered the phone. That's the thing about our smartphones. You can't hide anymore. If you call someone's number, it's instantly recorded in their phone. It's not like they don't know who called them. That kind of leads into what we want to talk about today, about hearing the voice of God, because what happened is she heard your voice on the other end and instantly probably recognized this was not the call I was trying to make.
This is not the person I was trying to reach, right?
And so she hung up on you.
I was very disappointed.
And we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, where it talks about Samuel hearing for the first time the voice of God. Out of the King James Version, beginning at verse 4 in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli answered and said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth."
And this is what it says in the Message version. It says in 1 Samuel 3, "Then God called out, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Samuel answered, 'Yes.' He says, 'I am here.' Then he ran to Eli saying, 'I heard you call. Here I am.' Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed.' And so he did. God called again, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, 'I heard you call. Here I am.' Again, Eli says, 'Son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed.' This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. God called again, Samuel, the third time. And yet again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Yes, I heard you call me. Here am I.' And he says, that's when it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, 'Go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, say, Speak, God, I am your servant, ready to listen.' Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Samuel answered, 'Speak, I am your servant, ready to listen.
Amen. That is a powerful text of scripture, because it shows how God is calling unto Samuel, and also how he does sometimes call out unto us and patiently calls us until we recognize his voice. For he called him three times, and for the first three times, Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. So he ran unto Eli and he says, I know you're calling me, and I come to see what you want. And Eli each time tells him, I didn't call you, go lay down. And the third time it dawned on him, this has to be God calling him, and he told him what to do. And you know what I like is on the third time, it says that God came and stood mm-hmm. by Samuel mm-hmm. and he called his name. Mm-hmm. We talked a few weeks about God knowing our name. God stood by Samuel. Can you imagine God, when he's calling you for purpose, when he's calling you for your destiny, when he's calling you for what he has in store for your life? He came and stood by Samuel and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, I am your servant and I'm ready to listen. And God proceeds to give him the words that he would want him to hear at that point. But what I'd like to talk about today, LJ Renee, is how we hear God. You know, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice mm-hmm. and a stranger they will not follow. We do know that there are many people who love and serve God, but they still are perplexed at how to hear, discern, and know emphatically the voice of their God. But as the scripture says that I just mentioned in John 10, that my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, a stranger they will not follow. So how do you hear the voice of God? One of the ways that I authenticate what I'm hearing in my spirit, and we know that from this text, when God was calling Eli, that it was most likely an audible voice that he mm-hmm. was hearing. When God was calling Samuel, that it was most likely an audible voice that he was hearing, because he thought it was literally Eli calling him. And whether it is an audible voice or an inaudible voice, whether it is a prodding in your spirit, a leading of God, when God calls you, there are ways in which you would authenticate that this is the Lord calling me, because God is not the only one that speaks, but he does say of his sheep that a stranger they will not follow. So one of the ways that I know when God is speaking to me is that whatever I hear, whether I hear it audibly, inaudibly, through a dream, through a vision, or through someone speaking or preaching or teaching or giving word of prophecy or wisdom, is I make sure that it lines up with the word of God. And first of all, if you don't know the word of God, it's going to be literally impossible to make sure that what you are hearing or being told lines up with the word of God. You can't authenticate the voice of God through the word of God if you don't know the word of God. So first you have to know his word, that you might be able to say this lines up with what he has said in his word. Even Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, the way that he overcame the enemy, when he was tempted, he said, it is written. You have to know the word to be able to quote the word, to be able to use the word, to be able to apply the word, and to be able to authenticate anything you receive by the word.
You know, you hear oftentimes people said, something said to me, I heard something say. Someone was telling me about a story where a young man who had epileptic episode while he was driving. He said he didn't know how he got over into the right lane, but he did. But he heard this voice says, you're going to be all right. And he said, evidently he must have blacked out. And when he finally got back on the road, the voice said to him, are you all right? And he said, then he knew that that had to be God. He said, now I know that God is real.
But why do you think people then ascribe their hearing, if it is the Lord, why do you think they ascribe it to something said?
Because they had never, one, I think is a traditional thing to say, is something said, because you really don't know if it's, you know, if it's God. You don't want to say it's God.
They're afraid.
And they're afraid to say it. And one is just, you really just don't know, you know, but you knew that that voice saved your life. You knew that voice guided you into the arm of safety. You knew it was that voice that gave you wisdom. And so because you're not familiar with it, or maybe you may be even afraid to say it's God's voice.
Right. That's what most Christians are afraid, because there are some people that know God, have walked with God, and have relationship with God, but you will still hear them say, something told me.
My thing is,
what was the something that told you? And because as an unbeliever, I 100% get that you say something told you and you don't know what it was, and you hope it was the Lord and all of that. But as a believer, because we just quoted the scripture in John, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They know my voice. So if we belong to God, we need to quit ascribing the things of God to something. The same way we say, good luck, you know, I almost had a wreck, but good luck, you know, saved me. No, good luck didn't save the Christian, but a good God saved the Christian.
A good God even saved the unbeliever as well.
Even the unbeliever as well. But the Christian ought to have enough knowledge of God to give God the glory that's due his name. The unbeliever might not know any better, but the Christian knows that it's not about luck and happenstance. Nothing just happens in the life of the believer, but God is ordering your steps, and it is the grace and the mercy of God that kept you from those near accidents, that delivered you from near destruction, that saved you and brought you out. And we need to quit ascribing the glory of God to good luck. And we need to quit ascribing the voice of God to something said.
That's right. And you know, sometimes they even go back to superstitions.
Superstition.
And you know what I'm saying? They have been so indoctrinated with superstition that they attributed to something told me. And I told me, listen, this is going to be funny to you. I even heard people, my Toby told me. And that's... And that's what people will say when they are suspicious.
Listen, if you're listening to this now, if you're reading your horoscope in the morning to find out how your day is going to go, let us liberate you from that. Because the Bible says that God holds the balance of your days, your life, in his hand.
Yes.
And it is God that preordained your life. And there is no stars that you can read, no tea leaves that you can read, no witch doctor that can give you what God can give you. You need to go to the source of your life. God is the source of my life and the strength of my life. And everything you need is wrapped up in God. So it's not about a rabbit's foot or good luck or a horoscope. The people of God we should not be led by these types of superstitions, because you get off into that and soon you'll find that you're into witchcraft and you're fiddling into things that contaminate your spirit. You need to acknowledge God in all of your ways, and God will direct your path. It's not because you're a Sagittarius or a Virgo or a Leo. Mm-hmm. It's because you're a child of God, and God woke you up this morning and God started you on your way. It's not because you're moody because you were born in September, or you're flighty because you were born in October. No, you're a child of God, and don't let anybody tell you how your day is to go except the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall your day go? I will rejoice
and be glad in this day.
This is the day that the Lord has made. That's how your day will go as a child of God. You don't read your horoscope to find out I'm going to have a bad day or a good. Every day is going to be a good day.
Amen. That's a good point there. When you know God, he says, I give life abundantly to you. He says, I'm not going to tell you anything wrong. He said, why? Because I love you. You know, the voice of love, you know, but the Bible says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God comes to give you life. He comes to comfort you. He comes to give you his best. Why? Because he loves you. And that's another reason why you can discern between the two voices. Did it come to do you harm? Did if it did, then that's the devil. Did it come to give you life? Did it encourage you? Then that's God. And so if you could just start right there with that premise, then you'll be able to walk this thing through.
It's just like if you play a sport, you don't listen to the other team that you're going up against
to tell you
how to set your strategy. You have to question their motive. They're trying to win the game. They're not trying to help you win the game. When they're giving you tips for winning the game, you better bet they're tainted with some ill intent. So it is with the enemy. That's why the Psalms 1 says we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
That's right.
And we don't stand in the way of the sinners, because the counsel that the ungodly give you will not lead you to the wholesome things of God. They don't have your good will at the intent of their advice. When they're giving you advice, it's for ill intent. They want to drive you away from God and pull you away from the things of God. So I want to go to the source of my life and those who love God to get counsel on the things of God. What's another way that you know when you hear the voice of God speaking to you? What's another way that you authenticate that this is God speaking to me?
Another way is that you have relationship with God.
Amen.
Is that you're praying to God. You're reading the word of God. You're seeking his face, his counsel. And therefore, you know when God is speaking to you, or you might not hear an audible voice. But you know that it's God leading you to the answer or giving you wisdom. I remember the other day I was reading in Proverbs 2, and it talks about the cry aloud for wisdom. He said, when you cry aloud for wisdom, he said, I'll give you insight. Well, on the dictionary says insight is an aha moment. Mm. And so I was seeking God for some wisdom, and I said, God, give me an aha moment.
When the light bulb goes off on you. This is like the Lord says, we pray to the Lord, open the eyes of my understanding.
That's right. Open the eyes of my understanding.
That the light bulb will go off and I will have that, aha, I get it now.
An understanding where it looked like it's this way, but then God began to show you some things that you say, oh my God, I never looked at it that way. Or he began to, when you read a scripture, you say, Lord, give me understanding of this. And he said, yeah, you know this way. You know, God's word is not exhaustible. I mean,
it's alive.
It's alive. It's operative. And he'll say, but look at it this way. And you say, oh my God, oh, I understand. And so he, it's not necessarily a voice that you would hear, but you know, it's a leading because you've asked him to give you those moments or to give you wisdom. And you might not recognize it even right then, but all of a sudden it comes upon you. God, you are speaking to me. And I'm telling you, the joy of knowing that the Lord has spoken to you is like none other.
And that's why we want to make this plea. Dear God, speak to my heart. Would you give us a word from you? If we can hear from you, then we will know what to do. Would you speak to our hearts, dear God?
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my heart.
Give me your holy
word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what to do.
I won't go on. So
then
I won't go on.
I'll never go on.
I'll never go on.
I'll never go on.
Never go on.
I just love that song. I know that some of you have even said, Lord, speak to my heart. Allow me to know. And when you say speak to my heart, you got to be looking for that answer. And I'm telling you, the song says, speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Message of love, love to encourage me, lifting my heart from despair. Oh, and how you love me and care for me. Speak to my heart now, oh Lord. And you know what? The Bible says that God is waiting on you to ask. He said, ask of me. Mm. And he said, I will no way turn you away when you begin to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. But this is the thing. When you ask God to speak to your heart, mean it. Because when you mean it, you'll be looking for the answer. You'll be looking. And sometimes he's not going to speak to you in audible voice, but he'll speak to you as through, and it might sound crazy, but he'll speak to you through nature, through a television program. You know why? Because he is sovereign. He has power over all things. There is nothing that can prevent him from reaching you. There is nothing that can hold his word back. That if you are not even looking at television, he'll call something to give you the word. He'll speak to your spirit and you'll know that it is God that is speaking to you. I remember times of laying, and I don't know how many of you all can attest to this. You're laying down sleeping. And you think, but all of a sudden you hear a word from God and you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and he's giving you a word of encouragement. He's giving you direction. And some of you are laying down last night and your sleep has been disturbed, and you finally go off to sleep, but you hear that lovely voice says, I love you. I care for you. Don't worry about today. If you just trust me, I'm going to take you through. And you know you have heard from God, because the enemy is not going to tell you those things.
Amen. And one of the things I'd like to mention is we didn't read up from the first verse of 1 Samuel chapter 3. The first three verses talks about that the time when God spoke and called Samuel, it was a time when the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Verse 1 says that the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision, meaning that there was a famine for the word of God during those days. And you recall the scripture that we quote very often when we pray in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when God says that if I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain. Well, sometimes God will allow there to be a famine for the things that come from heaven, the word of God that rains down from heaven, the presence of the Lord. I just believe that even in our day, as we are seeing the rampant onslaught of degradation and immorality going through our land, as we're seeing the forward marching of legalization of gay marriage and everything that is an abomination to the word of God, that there has been a shutting up of the heavens even in our day. I believe that the word of the Lord is precious in our day. Yes. Because there's many Christians, even when we were talking about doing this topic, I said, well, most people don't even hear the Lord or understand how to hear his voice, because most people don't have that type of relationship where they can say emphatically that God speaks to me. And some that do have that relationship are ashamed to say that God speaks to me. They are afraid of being called a lunatic or crazy. But I'm telling you that the word of God is precious. And if you can hear and sense the voice of your God, you need to cherish that with everything that is within you. And you need to cry out unto him, Lord, speak to my heart. Give me a word from you. We want to be like the sons of Issachar, according to the scripture, that knew, that had understanding of the signs of the time and knew what Israel ought to do. We need the people of God that understand what is going on in the land and know what the people of God ought to do, that have an ear tuned to the mouth of God and can hear what thus saith the Lord. We are so familiar with our preachers and so familiar with our singers' voices, but how many people are familiar with the voice of their God? I can tell you, and I can imitate and I can emulate so many wonderful preachers preachers, but how many of us have heard from the Lord? We know what the preachers say, and isn't that what we give at the forefront of our radio program? We know what the preachers say, and we know what the media say. We know what the religious leaders say, but what does the Lord say? Is anybody hearing the voice of God? Can anybody say, thus saith the Lord? Stop giving credit to the enemy, to something said and something led you and something told you. How about if you know the voice of your God, you emphatically declare, this is the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto you. This is what the Lord has said.
And you know, going back to that scripture, and it talked about Eli during that time, that of course there was a famine in the land for the word of God. And so therefore that the word of God was not heard a lot in that day. It's a sad thing when the word of God is not coming forth in our day, when people are shutting down what thus saith the Lord. And even today, listening to when we're reading about the voice of the Lord, our prayer is that God will raise up the prophetic voice to begin to start speaking in the land today. The prophetic voice to begin to say, thus saith the Lord. And one of the things you have to know is this, is that sometimes the word of God don't always come always to encourage you. Sometimes it comes
to correct you.
That's what it said. That's what he said. That's what my word is supposed to do. It's like a two-edged sword.
That's right.
It encourages on one hand, and then when it needs to, it will give you a word of correction. He said, because if I don't correct you, you can know this, you're not none of mine.
Right.
Isn't that what he said?
The Lord chastises those whom he loves.
And so basically, he's giving you a word of correction. And I can hear the Spirit of the Lord even speaking now, telling us to wake up, my God, to stop listening to the voice of deception. And if you don't know, begin to get in the word of God and understand his word and understand his way, so that when somebody come talking to you another gospel, matter of fact, the Bible says if anybody come to you any other gospel, Jesus,
amen,
he said that man is accursed. And so we got to know what is real and what is false.
Amen. Dear God, we thank you today. We thank you that we have a thirst and a hunger to hear from you. Would you speak to our hearts, God? Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Lord.
Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to the body of Christ. Every one of those in the fivefold ministry, we thank you for every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every teacher, every preacher, everyone carrying the word of God, every saint of God that's been called to be a minister of reconciliation, restoring a lost world back to the cross of Christ. We thank you, God, for your holy word, for the word of God brings deliverance, and the word of God brings healing, and the word of God brings salvation. We thank you, God, that even during this day, there are many people preaching, many people are teaching the word of God, but there's still that famine for what thus saith the Lord. We have become professional preachers, and we can put together a sermon, but how many people can say, thus saith the Lord? How many of us will put in check and say, the Lord has not said that? Father, let us have such a fear and reverence of you that we refuse to go if you have not sent us. We refuse to speak if you have not showed us. We refuse, God, to hold our peace if you told us to go. Father, we lift this prayer to you. I pray that you speak to the heart of every person listening, not through us only, but give them a personal relationship with you. May they have the testimony that I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I have read of thee in the word, but now I know because I have experienced you for myself. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you that you are a personal Savior, and you have opened up the way to us. You have rent the veil in two and said, come unto me, all ye that labor. You said, come boldly to the throne of grace. May every believer find themselves ushered into the presence of God. May we hunger for you in such a way, God. May we thirst for you in such a way, God, that nothing else will satisfy. When we gather ourselves together, may we hear from you, God. We don't want to hear another good sermon. We don't want to hear another good singer, but we want to know, is there a
word from the Lord. And may our spirit testify, even as the Holy Ghost in Mary testified to the Holy Ghost in Elizabeth, that this is the Lord. Yes. God, may our spirit testify when we hear those speaking the truth of the living God. And Father, may we bear witness of our God. May we never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.